So we left off the last year. We had come up, in the context of the last two shiurim, we had come up with two possible kulas for the prohibition of achzara. So one was based on the Ran and the Rishami and the Raman and the Rav and the Gra, the whole story about if the food was on the fire from before Shabbos, so then we no longer have to be concerned with all the other that hachzir, just grew for ketubah, but that's easy to meet in terms of avlech. That was one mahalach. And then the second mahalach was invoking the principle of kedera gabi kedera, which many Rishonim accepted. Shulchan Aruch accepts that kedera gabi kedera is permissible, but then Rav Avadya Yosef's extension, that even a kedera reikonis, even an empty bottom kedera is okay, and even a blech is considered to be like an empty bottom kedera. And again, each one of these kulas was highly questionable. So the question becomes now more lemaisa, more in terms of practically, and Tashin Ayin Hey, how could we possibly permit Havzara? Are there any devices that we can invent or use which could possibly help us in terms of the issue of Havzara? So there was a suggestion that was made, it was actually invented several years ago. A device was made to meet the criteria of Kedera Gabi Kedera, but not to meet the lenient criteria, not to meet Rabbi Avadya Yosef's definition of Kedera Gabi Kedera, but rather to meet the stricter definition of Kedera Gabi Kedera of the Mishnah Berurah, the Prima Godim, that the bottom Kedera has to have food in it. Now, to have food in the bottom Kedera, sometimes that's not so practical, because how big is your children pot? So I have a fairly small children pot. I want to be able to put a piece of kugel on top, so if you have two people in the house, then you can put two pieces of chicken. If you have 20 people, it's going to be hard to maneuver. All this, all the dry food that you want to put back on the Kedera isn't going to work so well. So the Prima Godim wrote that even if there's no food in the bottom Kedera, if there's chamin, if there's hot water in the bottom Kedera, that's also good. How much hot water? How big is the top surface of your urn? So there's going to be a limit how much you can be able to put on. So came along some people and said, well, we'll make you, for a small price, we'll make you a Kedera Gabi Kedera. We're going to invent for you, we're going to create for you a Kedera Gabi Kedera. We're going to put water in the bottom Kedera. Now, you're not going to use that water. No one's going to drink that water. But so what? I mean, presumably so what? So they came up with what we called the double blech or the kedera blech or the unblech, whatever you want to call it. The goal of this device was, probably many of you have seen it, it's basically two blechs with the place in between for there to be water. So if you fill water up in between the two blechs, now you have a kedera agabi kedera. So now you put your dry piece of chicken, your dry piece of kugel on top of that unblech, on top of that kedera blech, so then you're home free. And you're not relying on Rabbi Avadya Yosef's Kedera Reikonis anymore, which Ashkenazim tend not to rely on. You're relying on what appears to be excellent, seems to be a classic Kedera Agabi Kedera, with a Kedera Malay on the bottom, full of water on the bottom.
Basically, it's a rectangle, it's a seal. They made it into a kli.
Right, and that's water, but it has water inside, and water in between the two blocks. It has water. So the question is, does that help or not? So obviously the people who made it thought that it helped, but there were some Rabbanim who had some serious reservations with it. One of the serious reservations is that the whole idea of the Kedera Gabi Kedera was to create, in a sense, the Heker, was to create that it should be different, that it should be bizarre, that you should see this, and never identify this with regular cooking. The problem is that these similar kind of devices are used in catering, in restaurants, these kinds of double boilers, what they call them, that they have water inside something and they put something else inside that. So it's not considered to be so bizarre to use such a device. So some were a little bit concerned that maybe the whole idea of Kedera Gabi Kedera is to, when you see a person taking a piece of kugel and putting it on top of a chillin pot, so that's crazy. No one would ever do that. To stick a pan of water and then put some food on top of a pre-existing pan of water is not so bizarre. So maybe the whole idea of Kedera Gabi Kedera wouldn't be met with this. Again, there are different opinions about this. There's another device that was also invented that could also potentially solve the problem of Havzara, and that's the device called the hot plot, the hot plate, or the plata in Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly is the status of the hot plates? So the hot plates are addressing the issue of Havzara on two different fronts. So remember, going all the way back to the beginning of the sugya of Havzara, so we said there were two different reasons in the Rishonim why Havzara is also. One was because of Mechzikim of Asher, that was Rashi said, and the other was because of Shevi Chata B'Gicholim. That's what Chiddush Aran said. What if you can create a device where, practically speaking, neither of these two concerns are present? So what's the halacha going to be? So presumably, if neither of the concerns are present, then everything's going to be mutter. Not all that different than Kedera Gabi Kedera. The same way we said that Kedera Gabi Kedera is mutter, because nobody cooks that way, and probably it's enough for Hecker to avoid Shemichat B'Gecholim concerns. So the same should be true if you can create a plot, create a hot plate, that neither of those concerns are present. Is that true? Are neither the concerns of Achzor present in a hot plate? So the concern of Shem Yichat B'Gecholim, that's easy. That for sure doesn't exist, because if you use what's called a non-adjustable hot plate, if there's nothing to turn, if there are no knobs to turn, there's no coals to stoke, so then there's nothing to worry about Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. This already, we quoted earlier on in the Sugyas of Shehiyah, this was already quoted for Rav Tzipa Yosef Frank, suggested, and we assume this way of halacha, that if you have an urn that doesn't have any settings, it's just on or off. So Rav Tzipa Yosef Frank said, if you plug the urn in for right before Shabbos, so it should be okay. What's the Shem Yichat B'Gecholim? What are you going to be machat on? It's on. You're not going to move it any higher. So there's no Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. If you remember back to the days of the urns, back to Shehiyah, so we had Rav Moshe had tangential issues with the urns, putting them up right before Shabbos. Rav Moshe thought maybe there was a new fear that lest you take some of the water out before it actually boils, thereby hastening the boiling of the water inside the urn. That was already a totally external issue that may or may not accept. That was Rav Moshe, Shlomo Zalman. We spoke about the Be'arichos in the Sugyas of Shehiyah. But fundamentally, in terms of the concern of Shem Yichat B'Gecholim, there is nothing to be concerned about. If there are no gecholim to be mechante, if there's no dials to control, there's nothing to change, then obviously there's no fear of quote-unquote shem yichat to be gecholim. So if you have a non-adjustable hot plate, the fear of shem yichat to be gecholim is very easy to overcome. It's just non-adjustable, finished. But what about the second fear? What about the fear of mechzikim of ashel? So does this give off the image of bishul or not? A person puts a piece of dry chicken on a hot plate, on Shabbos morning, took it out of the refrigerator, so he's violated all the conditions of Achzor. It's not Odebi other night that Lachach, it's Nitzdar Legan. It's got everything working against him, but he's putting it on a hot plate. Can we just ignore the whole issue of Achzor on a hot plate and just say, well, it's not Mechzik Mevashim. Nobody ever would cook in such a way, so forget about it. There's nothing at all to be concerned with. Can we take that approach or not? So this was an important nuance, which seems to be a major machlokes to Gedalia Poskim of our generation. So this is quoted in the Sefer of Shimon Eider, in the back of the Shabbos. We quoted this before, the back of Chilik Dalet and the Shabbos. So Shimon Eider has a bunch of little chiles and shuvas that he sat with Rav Moshe, and he personally sat with Rav Moshe and asked some questions, and he recorded Rav Moshe's responses. It was subsequently printed up in a later chelik in Igros Moshe, but the original source of this was actually the give and take between Shimon Eider and Rav Moshe years ago. So Shimon Eider presented the shaila to Rav Moshe. So he asked him the shaila, what's the din? And I don't know whether I put this particular thing on the Maamar Kamos, and it probably would have been hard for somebody to find it actually on the, I don't know, the footnotes in the back of Shimon Eider on the Bar Ilan. But whatever it is, the shaila was presented to Rav Moshe. What's the din of the hot plate? So he presented to Rav Moshe both of these nekudos. Number one, it's not adjustable, so that seems to be an easy way out of Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. But the nuance of the question was, what about the issue of a Mechzikim of Ashel? That secondary Isser, according to Rashi, that's the primary Isser of Achzara of Mechzikim of Ashel. Is it Mechzikim of Ashel or not? So the way the question was presented to Rav Moshe was as follows. If you have a device, you have an electrical appliance like a hot plate, that it's Ein Derech Bekach to be mevashel. It's not normal to cook on these things. These things are normal to heat things up, to warm things up. Nobody would ever think of actually cooking on these devices. Should we be concerned with Mechzikim mevashel or not? Again, we already have precedent for this idea of the Rishonim, which Kedera Gabi Kedera, because Kedera Gabi Kedera is also not normal to cook that way. So when it's not normal to cook that way, presumably it should translate to be no longer a fear of Mechzikim mevashel. The source of the Rishonim's Kula of Kedera Gabi Kedera actually has its sources in the Gemara itself. And the Gemara speaks about putting food Keneged HaMedura. The Gemara talks about the permissibility of taking a dry food and putting it near a fireplace on Shabbos. The Gemara just talks about you have to be concerned in terms of other bishul issues, but if you can get around the real bishul issues, so the Gemara seems to ignore any Hachzara issues. So the Rishonim Amidaik from that Gemara, how can you put food near the Medura? Isn't that Mechzikim Mevashel? So the answer is it's not Mechzikim Mevashel because that's not the normal way to cook. When you want to cook something, you put it in the fire. You don't put it 20 feet away from the fire. So we already have a strong precedent from the Gemara, from the Rishon, from the Shulchan Aruch, that when you do things in an abnormal fashion, it doesn't give off that imagery of Mechzikim Mevashel. So maybe that should solve the problem for the hot plate as well. So that was the background to Rav Shimon Eider's presentation. So we presented Rav Moshe with the nuance of the Shaila. If you want to put dry food onto an electric, non-adjustable hot plate, a planta on Shabbos, and it's not derech b'kach mevashel, what's the din? So the problem is that when Rav Moshe responded to the question, the way it's quoted in the verbatim, the Rav Moshe's response was, you have to be very, very medayik in how the question was asked and what the answer was. So Rav Shimon asked him, it's not derech bekach to be mevashel. And Rav Moshe responded, an electric hot plate that's not adjustable, that it's impossible to cook on, is mutter. Everything was lost in the details. I mean, the one word, that was it. Rav Shimon had presented the question as being, it's not normal, and Rav Moshe said it's impossible. There's a very, very big difference between not normal and impossible. In theory, it's possible to cook on a hot plate. It'll take you a long time, but in theory, you can cook on a hot plate. So if Rav Moshe was defining Ein Derech Bishul as being something which is impossible, so that's going to do us in terms of the hot plate. So Rav Shimon Eider already sensed the nuance of a difference between the way he asked and Rav Moshe answered. So now the rest becomes pure Torah Shabbat Peh. What I told you up to now, you can see in any old edition of Shimon Eider, Chelek Dalet in the back. You can look at any Yis Moshe in Chelek Dalet, Simen Ayin Dalet, if I'm not mistaken. There's a lot of small tshuvas that this is reprinted in. So everything here is Bechzav. The rest from here on in is Torah Shabbat Peh. So the way the story goes...
The Bechsav is
in two places. It's originally printed up in Shimon Eider Sefer, and then in a later chelik, like Dalan or Chaim of Yikus Moshe, they reprinted all those little give and takes between Reb Shimon Eider and Reb Moshe. So it's in print in two.
Reb Moshe write that?
Right.
You know, the later volumes of Yikus Moshe, so Reb Moshe was involved in, you know, as the volumes got later, so... Some of it is not actually Rav Moshe's mamish words. You know, he was older already, so some of it was dictated, some of it was touched up a little bit. But it's a highly charged halachic political questions. I can't answer that question, especially not on tape. Okay, so everything I just said was most of Adal was batla mevutal. But getting back to the story, but. This particular give and take already preceded Yikus Moshe. This was already in Rav Shimon Eider Sefer from 20 years earlier. So the Torah Shabbat Peh that I've received was that apparently Rav Shimon Eider re-asked the question. Let's say it's in print. Re-asked the question to Rav Moshe, and he said, "You know, Shiva, I said not derech, and you answered Efshar." So Rav Moshe supposedly said, "Yeah, Torah Shabbat Peh." Rav Moshe responded, "That's what I meant. I meant the same. It's all the same thing. If it's not derech, so then Efshar. I didn't mean literally. Efshar meant not darke bekach. Whatever's not darke bekach, it should be mutter." L'chora, that should be correct, because at the end of the day, what we try to do is to create a situation of lav derech bishul. That's the goal, is that it should be something that's very different, that looks different, and people are not going to confuse us with bishul. So one can argue that you see somebody putting something onto a hot plate. I'm not sure who cooks things on hot plates. In theory, if you leave it on a hot plate long enough, it would be asar. I'm sorry, it would be bishul. But one can argue that the way Rav Shimon Eider presented it, the way Rav Moshe supposedly amended the teretz, that makes a lot of sense. So there are some who went that route. There are some who have this tradition. Apparently, you know, those Rav Shimon Eider himself said, again, those who have the story, so heard it from Rav Shimon Eider himself. He was the one who was there at the time of the Shilas. So if you go with this Mahalach, that would be good for us in terms of hot plates. That means we could clear the hot plates on both grounds of Avzara. There's no problem in terms of Shebichat B'Gichal, not already, Frank already took care of, it's not adjustable. And if you have Rav Moshe's, this amended nuance of Rav Moshe, then it should be mutter as well. There are some who don't have the story. There are some of those who said, I'll tell you what it says in the print. In print, Rav Moshe said it's Efshar, and it's not Efshar. So those who wanted to ask the hot plates. Then there are others who wanted to ask the hot plates for other reasons. So in the Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasa, so he asks the hot plates straight out. He says the hot plates are, they're great in terms of Shebichat B'Gichalim, but they're not going to solve the problem of Mechzik Yibavashel. Why? What's the problem of Mechzik Yibavashel? What? L'chara, as far seems to be right, it's not really Mechzik Yibavashel. So this question, this is also Torah Shabbat Peh. But this is Torah Shabbat Peh that was eventually supported with Torah Shabbat Saf. So years ago, my brother-in-law, Roni, so he was at a medical conference in Halacha with Rav Noivit, the Baal Shemesh Shabbos Gilchasa. So everybody was asking Rav Noivit Shilas about, you know, end the life, about abortion, about all kind of medical stuff. So Roni went up to him, and if he raised his hand publicly, went up to me afterwards, and he asked them, how come he asked the hot plates? And none of them medicine, none of them doctors. How come he asked the hot plates? It's not Mexican Mavasha. Why do you ask the hot plates? So this is what my brother-in-law told me, that Rav Noivit responded to him, that it is derech levashel, because in Eretz Yisrael there are some people who actually cook vegetables on the hot plates. Mamash take raw vegetables, put them on the hot plates, and they don't just heat up the vegetables, they mamash cook the vegetables. So he said to him that There are two versions of what he said. I have two versions. Whether he said that the Sfaradim will do it or whether the Temanim will do it. So those are two different groups. So somebody does it in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who makes vegetables in a way that classic Ashkenazim don't make is considered to be darka b'kach to be mevasher vegetables in Eretz Yisrael. Once it's considered to be darka b'kach to be mevasher vegetables, then you can no longer call it ein derech mishul. So now the whole list of midrabbanan mechzkim mevasher now kicks in. That was the response. So that response has subsequently been printed, and I don't know if it's reprinted in the New Shemir Shabbos. It's been reprinted in other Sifrei Halacha that are quoting from the Shemir Shabbos. Hutach Aser for this reason, that the hot plates are Aser because they are considered to be Mechzikim of Asher. So one could suggest the following. One could suggest that that may be true, but for us in Tashinai and Hay in Tinek and Bergenfield may be irrelevant. Means what's called Mechzikim of Asher, so just as we find in other areas of Halacha, to determine whether something is Kederach or not may depend on the time or place. So it's true if you live in a place where there are a lot of Temanim in the middle of a Yerushalayim or somewhere, and they're cooking their vegetables in the hot plates. I ask you to go make a survey of hot plates in Tinek. I don't think anyone has anyone ever seen their wife put raw food. I hope that hand wasn't up there. Yes. Is anybody short of Henry? I don't want to accuse you of being Bob Darker, but kind of. Especially since your wife does all the CDs for us, I don't want to.
Nah, I actually cook a lot. I know a little bit about just a little bit about cooking.
Yeah.
I don't understand Shmuel Shavsky Hilchasov. How does he define mevashel? Cooking vegetables, they're not people who put vegetables in different forms of heating them up, don't want necessarily to cook them. They want to, you know, change them from to soften. Just soften them, but they're not cooked. It's not even, it doesn't even change the state necessarily. I have trouble understanding Shmishovsky Hilser addressing the issue of Bishul. It may be a process, but it may not be Bishul.
Okay, so as I thought what you were starting to say was these vegetables, are they edible raw?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a whole different ballgame. If you want to claim that the only vegetables that one would ever put on a hot plate are vegetables that are edible raw, that's already touching on a bishul d'oraisa shaila b'chalakis. Have we shown him? Tells in the Rambam, is there bishul d'oraisa on something that's edible raw in the first place? So I go ahead and I cook carrots. I'm always cooking. I put carrots in a pot and it sits there for an hour. So it's called cooked carrots now. I made tzimmus, cooked carrots. So according to the Rambam, that probably wouldn't be Bishul Deraisa. According to Taisus, that would be Bishul Deraisa.
Even further, his approach to, you know, Bishul, which is taking, you know, going to the furthest part of the Amazon, say one person is being marshaled there, is difficult.
That's so far.
No, but it's difficult because, no, he's taking a segment of a cultural
group
that's coming
from
a country
that's
doing it because... when electricity started, this was the only way they had the means to cook. In other words, they didn't come and say, this is a stall to cook.
Okay.
This is going 100 years of cultural sociology. And he's saying, this is Bishul.
Right, so I would say like this. I would say to people, I don't want to ask the hot place because we use them, but let me explain to you where I think the Shmir Shabbos is coming from. He's saying that halachically, this is bishul. If you said it, you said the magic word yourself without realizing. You said soften. The Rambam defines bishul as saying you take a food and you apply heat, and the heat either softens or hardens it. That's called bishul. Now, the only way to possibly say there's no bishul derais in the vegetables is if they're nechal kamos shochai, the edible raw, which that. I don't know. I'm not a bokeh with the Sfaradim and the Temanim are cooking on the hot plates. It's possible they're cooking stuff that's not edible raw. I don't even know that's true. And even if they are cooking stuff that's only edible raw, I'm not so sure we follow the Rambam that there's no bishul derais on that. So that in of itself, I'm not going to negate the Shmir Shabbos for. What your second point is that it's such a small percentage, and it's because they're doing it for whatever reasons. I would say like this. The fact that they're doing it for whatever reasons, you know, the sociology, you may be 100% right, but I'm not sure that's going to convey the halacha. It doesn't matter why they're doing it. We don't have to figure out 100 years ago what was going on in Morocco. What interests us now is, tachlis, are there people here who cook this way? Is that considered halachically to meet the criteria of darka b'kach? So I still think that's not called darka b'kach.
What do you do with the Gemara then? If the time of the Gemara, they took people, if today a segment of people took food and put it near a 600-degree oven, close enough to warm it up,
right.
People would say, Gemara says it's not bishul.
But the Gemara... No. The Gemara says not Mexican Rosh, it's not Daka Bekach.
Right.
So Daka Bekach changes. We know Daka Bekach changes. Remember the back to the microwave story that the Gemara says Bishul Bacham is Mutter, and Rav Moshe Paskin that Bishul Bacham today is in a Seder Raisa. So the factor, that criteria of Daka Bekach for sure changes from time to place. So I still think that you're basically correct that the fact that there's a small group of people somewhere in the middle of Yerushalayim doing it, I'm not sure that affects us. So it could be, again, just a suggestion that this psak now may change between Eretz Yisrael and America. Is if you live in a place where a lot of people are doing this, so then maybe that would be called Daka Bekach. You live in America where probably nobody, I don't think anybody here is doing this, so then it should remain Ein Daka Bekach. I'm not asking it from Eretz Yisrael, I'm not passing Shalom Eretz, so I'm passing for here. I'm presenting the psak for here. So I still think that there are very strong grounds to permit the hot plates on Shabbos. But that's the psak that Rabbi really holds this way. Lamaisa, he permits the non-adjustable hot plates based exactly on this discussion. Based on the fact that the Shebi Chad B'Cholm doesn't apply, the Mexican Mevashel, he's assuming doesn't apply, he's not that concerned with the Sfarim cooking the vegetables, and therefore he thinks that Mikra did it's really mutter.
An adjustable?
Adjustment is a whole different story. Adjustment becomes a Shem Yichad B'Gecholim problem, which that's part of the old story about covering. No, we're going to get to it about the woman drawers. We'll get to the woman drawers today. We'll get close to the woman drawers today. We'll see. There are those who are a little bit nervous about this. There are those who are a little bit concerned. You know, maybe there are enough Sfaradim cooking things with Zmanazem. Maybe even in Tinek we got some cooking. So some are a little bit weary about this. So there are some who like to combine different kulas. The kula that we spoke about on Wednesday, the kula of Kedera Gabi Kedera. So remember we said that the Shulchan Aruch already paskin. That you don't need the 20th century to be Mechadish Kedera Gabi Kedera. That already existed in the days of the Rishon, the days of the Shulchan Aruch. The Kedera Gabi Kedera is good. The only problem is we had a big machlokes. What suffices for the bottom Kedera? Must the bottom Kedera be Tavshil or water? Or is it enough for it to be a Kedera Rekonis? So that was a big machlokes in the Gedolia Poskim. So Ravadi Yosef was making it out right, and the Sfaradim today in Eretz Yisrael make it out right like that, that Kedera Rekonis is good. And therefore, Ravadi extended Kedera Rekonis to mean not just a big pot, but even a pan, and even a cookie sheet, and even a blech. That's all considered to be included in the hat there, in the kula of Kedera Rekonis. So we were a little bit weary about that, because as Ashkenazim, we are more inclined to the tradition of the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Berurah, that the bottom pot has to have food in it. But we're not negating it altogether. We're not saying it's totally not true. If you remember, even on Wednesday, we said that even according to the Svar of the Mishnah Berurah, that the reason why you need food and not an empty pot, maybe that was only true when the reason why you're putting the empty pot is just to cool down the fire a little bit. If you're really putting it down, but there is heker, so maybe even the Mishnah Berurah would concede that a bottom pot, an empty pot, would be good. We had that Svar from Shlomo Zalman the other day. So if one wants to put food back on the hot plate, if one really believes the hot plate's a mutter lagamre, not adjustable hot plate's a heter gomer, there's no hachzar, there's no shemichat, there's no mezzah, everything's heter gomer, and you're not losing any sleep over it, you know, that's fine. But if you're still a little bit weary about invoking the heter of the hot plate, what perhaps you could do is like this. Put a cookie sheet on top of the hot plate. So now, what do you have? Now you have something else. Now you have... You always have Rav Avadya Yosef to fall back on. It means you always have that added bonus that even Zalzayim, even if you're going to argue that the hot plate is maybe called Derech Bishol, but when you have a Kedera Rekonis on top of it, so again, putting us on the Mishnah Berurah for a minute, if you have a Kedera Rekonis on top of it, so then the hot plate is no worse than a fire. So the same way if you had a Mamasha fire and you put a Kedera Rekonis underneath it, according to Hefta Poskim would be good, according to Ravadya would be good. So you have nothing to lose by putting, except some heat, you have nothing to lose by putting a cookie sheet or an inverted something on top of the hot plate, and then the Chorit should be mutter, even according to the Shmir Shabbos. Because it happens to be that the Shmir Shabbos, even though he's the machmir on the hot plates, he is not the lahaka mikra, didn't like Rabbi Avadya on the blocks. He doesn't tell people the chachim to do it, but at least the inverted cookie sheets, he's not the mikra did is really probably okay. So It's based on this combination of Wednesday Shir and today's Shir that you sometimes walk into some homes and you see the following contraption going on. You'll see a non-adjustable hot plate, and you'll see on top of the non-adjustable hot plate, you'll see an upside-down pan, an upside-down cookie sheet or something. And then and only then they'll put food on top of the non-adjustable hot plate, which is covered with a cookie sheet. So now it's a fake speaker. It's mutter. Maybe it's mutter based on Reb Moshe and Reb Shimon Eider and the whole Tosh Rav Reb Shimon Eider. And even if it's a lot, it's also because of that. Well, maybe it's mutter because Reb Avadja was mutter it anyway, because it's no worse than a Kedera Rekonis. So you have two independent coolers. You have the combination of Wednesday Shir and today's Shir, which could create a het that I can't say l'chol ha-deis, but according to more deis than before. So you have really three different practices you'll see in different homes. You'll see some, particularly in the Svardim, you'll see putting food directly onto the blech, again, dry food, straight onto the blech, het ha-gomor, kedei rekonis, the ultimate extension of kedei rekonis as an independent cooler. Then you see in some homes, you'll see people putting food directly onto platas, not adjustable platas, no questions asked, as long as it's dry food. They always enter derech bishul and finish. Then you see in other homes, the combination of the two, you see the non-adjustable cookie sheets on top of the platas, and assume, b'chiyah gavna, it's I can't say again for sure it's going to be mutter, but most likely is actually going to be mutter. That's again. There are those who didn't like the water platas altogether. You'll see those in some homes also, but that's a different, the different cheshbon. So some of the things that we've been talking about in terms of if we can overcome both issues of Achzara, we can knock it out in terms of Shemichat B'Gicholm, we can knock out the Mechzik of Avashel, we spent a lot of time in the Platas, can we now invoke some of those principles to warming drawers? So at first glance, warming drawers also seem to be pretty good in terms of this whole setup of Achzara, literally to put food back into the warming drawer on Shabbos for the following reason. Presumably there's no Mechzik of Avashel. Kishmo Kenu, it's called a warming drawer. If it meant to be called a cooking drawer, they call it a cooking drawer. So it's called a warming drawer. So a warming drawer, now I can't tell you whether the Sfaradim are putting vegetables and Morocco inside the warming drawer, I can't tell you. But I think we can safely assume that warming drawer is Kishmo Kenu, that's not considered to be Derech Bishul. So we're home free on that. The problem with warming drawers is, one of the problems with warming drawers is that the other concern for Achzara is in full force. Namely, the hot plate had a mile of the warming drawer, that the hot plate didn't have a shemichat b'gicholim because there was no control to be mechata. The warming drawers are, that's the mind now, are generally adjustable. So whenever you have an adjustable device, you're back to square one. That's a shemichat b'gicholim. So the question is, can I solve the problem of the shemichat b'gicholim? So l'chora, I could solve the problem of shemichat b'gicholim the same way I solve it in other areas of halacha, namely back to chashiyah. I could just cover up the knobs. So if I just cover up the knobs, doesn't that solve the problem of Shemichat B'Gicholim? So if you remember, back at the Shehiyah days, we weren't so sure that that solves the problem of Shemichat B'Gicholim. That was a big machlokes from Moshe and Rabbi Cutler. Where does the heker of the blech have to be? Remember, according to Rabbi Moshe, the heker has to be on the fire. According to Rabbi Cutler, the heker can be by the controls. But according to Rabbi Moshe, that the heker has to be mamish on the fire itself. How are you going to do that exactly? You can stick aluminum foil on the website. It's going to be hard to figure out such an eitzah. So therefore, those who want to rely on the mekilim in terms of the warming drawers, what I would recommend is to do is as follows, is actually take the knobs off. If you take the knobs off, so you don't have to take them off literally, but they just slip off, right? So if you just pull them off before Shabbos, then it's ois shem echad b'gicholim. It's going to be according to everybody, even according to Rav Moshe. What do you mean mechata? So basically, you created a non-adjustable warming drawer. You bought an adjustable warming drawer, and you created for Shabbos a non-adjustable warming drawer. So those who want to be makel to do hachzara on the warming drawers are relying on this combination of svaras, that the Mechzikim of Ashel is probably overcome the same way the Mechzikim of Ashel has been overcome by the non-adjustable hot plate, following Rav Shimon Eider, Rav Moshe, that whole Tosh Rav Befim earlier, and combine that with the fact that you remove the knobs. So removing the knobs, you can argue that's the ultimate antithesis of Shemichat B'Yicholim. So again, I'm not a big fan of the warming drawers. Those who use them are relying on whatever they're relying on. But at least if you remove the knobs, then you've probably made it not all that much different than the hot plates. I thought we were finished today. I said, not only did we not get to the next sugya, we didn't finish this sugya. We still got more stuff to do for Achzara. Hopefully, next week we have to finish the issues about Achzara inside the ovens and inside crack pots. And having goyim do Achzara for us, there's still a few more odds and ends. So we're still in the odds and ends part of the sugya, but hopefully, we should finish next.
The Rebbe, there was some called Rebbe, there was an article on.